Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly tonight. We are previewing Indiana's offense heading into spring practice, which begins on March 7th. We'll look at where we think there are some concerns, some major factors on offense, areas of strength, and goals that IU needs to accomplish. We'll also talk the latest on Indiana tight end Peyton Hendershot as well, and we'll get into all the stuff about Indiana football. But first, a word from our friends over at MyBookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because, well, they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay for instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So we'll be joined by TJ Inman here right now. TJ, how are you on this rainy, dreary Monday, February evening in Indianapolis?
Yeah, doing well. Certainly, we got a little bit of heavy stuff to talk about here at the start of the show, but I'm doing well and looking forward to the spring practice getting started up. It's always fun to talk about kind of the hope of the new season. We're in a bit of a interesting position because we're not coming off of a, depressing season. It was a exhilarating season, and I think it's left us hungry for more.
Yeah, and it's been a really quick off season. It feels, it's less than 8 weeks ago that IU was playing in the Gator Bowl and the season ended. And then you had signing day just a month after that. And Here we are, February 24th, with spring practice starting on March 7th. But TJ, let's start with the news about Peyton Hendershot. He was arrested Saturday night on multiple charges. There's a misdemeanor domestic battery charge. We have the police, the statements from the police report on our site. He was suspended indefinitely by Tom Allen just a few minutes ago, I think around 4:30 this afternoon. It's an ongoing investigation. It's an ongoing legal matter. We'll see where it goes. It's an incident that, alleges that he put his hands on a former girlfriend, kind of broke into her apartment, threw her phone, and all that stuff. It's a real big mess of a situation, but we'll see as facts come out, we'll put them out as well. But, Peyton Hendershot wasn't going to participate in spring practice anyway with his recovery from injury, but this just, so the impact on spring practice isn't really real, but where it will impact is, if he does get dismissed or however long the suspension is, it might start to impact games in the fall. And he was very, very productive last year. He set the school record for single season receptions and receiving yards for a tight end. He had 5 touchdowns. He had, I kind of want to call that the bowl game his breakout game. because he played very, very well. He's probably Indiana's best receiver that game as well. So, but the impact on spring, it should give Indiana's youngsters and other tight ends a chance to step up into this role. And, you know, we'll see where it goes with Peyton Hendershot, but it's an evolving situation. But Indiana has the personnel to replace him if that's what is going to happen.
Well, obviously, it increases the importance of the other tight end on the roster. I mean, their roles are going to increase if Peyton Hendershot's not there. It's going to be interesting to see how. I think if I had to single out one player that I think this could drastically change the role that he has in the coming season, I think that person could be Gary Cooper. I think Matt Bjorson kind of is what we've seen. That's not to say he can't develop more, but I think the physical tools of Matt Bjorson are not going to match Peyton Hendershot. While a different build than Peyton Hendershot, a different size, I do think that from a skill set of stretching the field, from the tight end position, I think Gary Cooper could be a person that we see his role increase somewhat drastically.
Yeah, Gary Cooper, you have TJ Ivey as well, and AJ Barner's coming in as a freshman. He won't be with IU in the spring. And then, you know, Matt Bjorson had a couple big catches in that bowl game as well, and a big touchdown at Nebraska. He's got good hands, obviously not as athletic, as you said, TJ, as Peyton Hendershot, but they have very capable tight ends in there as well. And we'll see. They could also go to the grad transfer market and see if they need to plug and play there. So we'll see. So let's get into our spring practice. Enough of the bad news. It is, you know, spring training and hope spring's eternal and all that stuff for all you baseball fans out there. We'll give two things each, TJ, but we'll go back and forth, you know, four different times. What is one of the things you're going to watch in spring practice this year?
Well, I think the first thing that I'm going to look for is, and I'll skip over the quarterback because that is an obvious one. So the first thing I'm going to watch for is kind of the development of this offense to see that in spring practice. But you can get an idea for, you know, where guys are playing, who's playing where, who's playing with who, who's the ones, who's the twos at this point. There's a couple of holes. You know, we're looking at what Dylan Powell does, if he's able to participate, where he's going to be slated. Michael Kadich, Harry Kreider, guys that I'm interested to see where they slot in, where Darren Hiller and this offensive staff sees them as being put. And then equally as important, perhaps, is going to be who is lining up as the primary backups at these positions, because that is a major unknown heading into this season, and it is for most programs. I mean, you typically don't have experienced guys as your backups. And if you do, it's because you had a ton of injuries along that line. So Indiana's not isolated in this situation, but it's important to develop and get a trust in kind of your at least your three primary backups along the offensive line that, you know, if you've got something happen during a game, you can turn to them, put them in, and feel good that the offense isn't going to fall apart.
Yeah, that's a good one there. TJ, I'm going to go with health, team health, as my number one thing that I'm watching for. You know, last season you had Michael Penix. He was limited in the spring coming off a knee injury. He only played in parts of seven games last year. And then you have Jack Tuttle, who missed half the spring, you know, the back half of spring practice last year with mono. Stevie Scott's coming back from injury. Samson James, you know, missed a few games. You saw Matthew Bedford miss a few games. can these young guys stay healthy through all of spring practice where they can get the reps they need to develop? And I think that's important, especially in the quarterback room, where these guys need as many reps as they could possibly get, especially since Penix did not get the benefit of the bowl practices either that Tuttle did. And you'd like to see some of these wide receivers, these young wide receivers, stay healthy as well and have an actual spring game this year where it's not, you know, one quarterback being, you know, all-time quarterback like back in grade school on the playground or in the parking lot, things like that. So team health is – and then on the defensive side of the ball, there's some guys out as well. We'll talk more about that when we talk on our defensive preview. But there are some young players, especially along the defensive line, that you'd like to stay healthy and get those reps. And instead of playing catch-up, start to build up, you know, in the weight room, their technique and all those things to get used to the new defensive line coach. It seems to be Kevin Peoples, and that should be announced here shortly, seeing that spring practice starts March 7th. And then in the secondary as well, you want all these young guys to stay healthy so that they can develop more. Instead of just working on rehabbing an injury, they could work on technique and all those things to get better skilled than just rehabbing injuries. What is your second concern, TJ?
You're absolutely right about the quarterbacks needing to stay healthy. I mean, we have to have Penix and Jack Drew a full spring with no complications and really get integrated into this new offense under Nick Sheridan. We don't expect much to change from that perspective. However, it's really important for those guys to get a lot of reps with this receiving core, which brings me to my second point. Who steps up at wide receiver? There's a lot of talent at this position group, but you do have some guys that there's some holes to fill. I mean, Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hill played a lot of snaps for Indiana and were productive for the Hoosiers. There are guys behind them that saw some snaps, and then some other guys that just didn't see anything, but we know they have talent. A big group of players from Miles Marshall to Jordan Jakes, Jacoby Hewitt, a lot of guys. I don't consider David Ellis in that group because we saw him quite a bit. Ty Freifogel, obviously, we saw him quite a bit. We know what we have in Wop Fillier. But after that three, you're really looking at who's going to step up and snag that playing time that is there. A lot of receivers are going to play, but you're going to have your primary guys. Who's going to step up and take it? The talent's there, the ability's there for these guys. It's just going to be a matter of performing and earning the trust of the quarterbacks and of the coaching staff to be able to get out there and produce when the games start. If you were picking one guy amongst that group that you're either most excited to watch or that you think is going to end up being kind of the standout of that group that jumps up and grabs the playing time, which one would you take?
Probably take Jacoby Hewitt, just because he's been around the program a little bit. He's gone through spring practice. Yeah, he's coming off a knee injury, which made him miss the season. But he's gotten in reps with Penix and Tuttle. He was like one of those candidates that you were thinking he would have a breakout year last year, kind of like Ty Freifogel.
Yeah.
Miles Marshall played in spurts too. But this is the time, TJ, as you said, for guys, you know, the new freshman, Rayshon Williams, is not on campus yet, and your seniors are gone.
Right.
So it's now time for these guys who've been waiting in the wings a little bit and biding their time. This is their time to shine and prove to the coaching staff that they're ready to go. But I'm going to go Jacoby Hewitt. I think he has just the experience factor over guys like Jordan Jakes. Although a 6'5 receiver is, I was tempted to take him as well, just based on body type and athleticism and things like that. But the experience factor to me and running this offense, even though it's under Sheridan, it's going to be very similar to what they ran last year. and things like that. But man, if they could get Jacoby Hewitt and if they could get Jordan Jakes going at 6'5", gives you a real big target that IU really didn't have last year that can do a lot of things. Yeah, they had Donovan Hale, but Donovan Hale could go up and grab it, but he wasn't running away from people and things like that. So one of those two receivers would be my candidates for a breakout candidate at that position, especially with Peyton Hendershot potentially on the shelf indefinitely. Having another 6'5" guy out there would definitely help.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, in terms of red zone target, 6'5" is that's what you're looking for a red zone target, or for you can envision kind of those quick out routes where you're going, you've got a 3rd and 5 and you're sending Jordan Jakes, 7 yards, stick the foot in the ground, turn to the outside and just post up and fire it to him. You can kind of see how that would be very beneficial to have in the offense. So I think those are two good suggestions. What's your second one?
My second thing that I'm watching for is how the team is going to adjust to a lot of new coaches on the staff. You have Nick Sheridan, who's been there, but he's taking over as offensive coordinator. Casey Teagarden moves to special teams. That's an area that really, really needs improvement if Indiana is going to continue to win games. And I've been going through stats on special teams. TJ, I don't know if I sent you the charts I've been doing, but it's so clear that when IU plays well on special teams, it not only does it help you win those matchup games and blow out those lesser opponents, it keeps you in the game against where IU's a heavy underdog, and in games where they lost that battle, Indiana either lost those matchup games. You think of Maryland in 2017, and Virginia in 2017 as well, where special teams cost them a game, and special teams actually won them a game too. And then think about Penn State, where special teams is awful, and Indiana had no shot at that game after falling behind 28-0. So emphasizing that area, seeing what Coach Teagarden can bring to the table there. Indiana hasn't returned a kickoff or a touchdown since 2012. It's been a while. And, it doesn't see 2012 and Tevin Coleman doesn't seem that far away in the past, but man, it's been that long since he took that one back to the house against Northwestern. But we'll see what they do on special teams, and then defensive line as well. Coach Hagan goes to Texas. He made the most out of the talent that he had. Can Kevin Peebles come in and do the same thing? He has a track record of making do with what he has. He sent a couple guys to the NFL from Tulane, which is very, very impressive. And then you have, with Kevin Wright at tight ends, how is he going to adjust to not having his best player this spring? So all that chemistry, all those things, how is that going to look? That's my second thing I'm going to watch in the spring. And that's something you can kind of watch when you go to practice. You get to see them in individual drills and see the coaches coaching up individual players. It's a lot easier to judge than the actual improvements along the lines. In spring ball, you try not to go too hard and beat each other up too much. So let's move on to concerns. TJ, what is your biggest concern for the offense heading into spring practice?
Well, I think the one that jumps off at the page just right now, which was not a concern a couple days ago, having a difference maker at tight end. If Peyton Hendershot, and we say this is if Peyton Hendershot is not with the team, that's a huge adjustment for Indiana to make. He was a potential all Big Ten tight end this coming season, and not having him, while you do have quality along that position group, not having that one go-to difference maker at that that spot's a major concern. However, if I'm picking one, it is going to be the depth of the offensive line, finding who your starters are going to be, and then developing that starting five, and then developing, you know, your top two to three depth pieces that you can feel really good about. I think that the ability and the potential is there. I think that IU has good size. However, there's just so much inexperience there that you do wonder if they'll be able to come together as a unit that can really just help propel an offense that otherwise does not really have very many holes on the surface. Obviously, if there's injuries at running back, that's a concern. If there's injuries, you know, to somebody like a Watt Fillier, we've seen what that does to the offense. And then, of course, if Michael Penix goes down with an injury, you're stuck with an inexperienced but, you know, very talented quarterback in Jack Tuttle. And then if Tuttle's out and Penix are out, then all bets are off. But just along the front, it looks like an offense that has basically no weaknesses if that offensive line can hold up and end up being – at worst, an average group, and hopefully more than that. So that's my biggest concern is, can the offensive line come together, gel as a unit with some new pieces that can perform at a high level to help this Indiana offense, which has all the pieces in place elsewhere, click the way that it needs to.
Yeah, and you stole my concern was, I figured you'd go with the offensive line. So I was going to go with running back depth. It's, you know, with losing Ivory Winters last year, Cole Guest in season, and then Ronnie Walker, while the running back room still has a lot of talent with Stevie Scott, Samson James, Tim Baldwin coming in, and you have Rod Lloyd and some other walk-ons behind him, and I know your guy Charlie Spiegel, who you think is a dark horse.
That's right.
You took a 4-star out of the mix in Ronnie Walker, even though he hadn't performed as well as many people thought he would. You're just taking another scholarship player out of the mix at a position where guys go down a lot, and you saw it last year against Purdue, where, you know, Stevie Scott got hurt before the week before, Sam James on a wet field. His ankle gets, you know, crunched up a little bit. And, you know, it's just a position that you take a lot of hits at and that you can't have enough. It's almost like starting pitching in baseball. Can't have enough of it. You can't have enough running backs in college football these days. I think the days of guys running 40 times consistently all season are over. And I think they've been over for a while. And so that's my concern is, you know, you got to keep these guys healthy, and it goes hand in hand with the offensive line too. The run game was something that they struggled at last year, and they really, it wasn't what it was at the end of 2018, you know, where Stevie Scott really came into his own, but you know, the run game has to be better, and the depth at the running back is one of my major concerns going in. But maybe they find somebody in spring practice. Maybe Charlie Spiegel shows that, hey, he could play at this level and be one of those, you know, one of those backs that could give you, you know, 3 to 5 carries a game and get you, you know, 10, 15 yards a game and finish the season with a couple hundred yards. And that'd be awesome for a walk-on freshman. So let's change gears, go to areas of strength. TJ, what is your biggest area of strength for this offense?
I think the biggest area of strength is the skill position talent that Indiana has. I think that Watt Fillier, David Ellis, Ty Freifogel, I was going to include Peyton Hendershot in this, but we'll pass on that for the moment. Samson James, Stevie Scott, and then the quarterback. I think that is, from a talent standpoint, I think it stacks up there with all but the elite of the Big Ten. It does not stack up with Ohio State. It probably doesn't stack up with Penn State. I know the Nittany Lions are going to have some rebuilding to do at the skill positions, but they'll be putting in, you know, 5-star guys. and it probably doesn't stack up with what Michigan has, but I would take Indiana skill position guys against just about anybody else in the Big Ten outside of that top level elite group. So I think that's the strength of the offense, the level of talent that Indiana has amassed at those the top of those skill position groups.
Yeah, depth. I think depth on offense is their strength. You go back to the attrition that they've had this offseason. You lose a four-star running back in Ronnie Walker. You lose Peyton Ramsey, who was, I mean, he played at all Big Ten level last year as well. You lose him. You're potentially you lose Coy Cronk off the offensive line. You lose Hunter Littlejohn and Simon Stepniak to graduation. You lose Ivory Winters, who was a three-star back. Cole Guest, who was his injury luck really took him out of things, but he had potential. You lose your two big receivers in Donovan Hale and Nick Westbrook, and you go, man, what is Indiana going to do on offense next year? But you go, hey, Michael Penix is back. Jack Tuttle's back. You have Stevie Scott, Samson James, who's a former four-star recruit. You have Tim Baldwin coming in. Dexter Williams is coming in at quarterback as well. You've got receivers like Jordan Jakes, Jacoby Hewitt, Miles Marshall waiting in the wings. And tight ends, your tight ends, TJ Ivey really didn't play much last year. Gary Cooper is a guy we've been excited about to see, and Matt Bjorson as well. Those losses would have been fatal to past Indiana teams. You'd say, well, this could have won six games, but now they're going to win two or three, and people are still saying, well, Matthew Bedford's back. You know, Coy Cronk might have not started a tackle because Bedford and Caleb Jones played really well last year. You bring in Dylan Powell, who could play any of the three interior line positions. You have Harry Kreider, who could bounce around as well. Michael Kadick and Mackenzie Nora. And, you know, this team, look, we'll see what they do on the field, but the expectations really haven't changed. You're still expecting this team to go to a bowl game, win six or more games, win your matchup games at home, and sweep the non-conference. So you're looking at, you could potentially win eight games again, maybe even more. So the depth that Tom Allen has built and this coaching staff has built on offense has taken a team that has had what would have been 10 years ago catastrophic losses, and it has turned them into, okay, well, it's now we trust the next guy to come up and make plays. So that's an area of strength that they've been trying to build for the last, you know, since Kevin Wilson has come up, and they've done a good job of doing that. So that's my area of strength. TJ, let's move on to what is one goal that Indiana needs to accomplish on offense coming out of spring practice to make you feel good going into the summer?
For me, the one goal, you know, needs to address the area of concern. The area of concern was the offensive line. And I should point out, I feel really good about the tackles. I feel really good about Matt Bedford. I feel really good about Caleb Jones. The interior, I like the bodies we have there. It's just a matter of finding, you know, that combination that's going to be the best fit. So, and then the depth of it. So I want, the biggest goal for me is for IU's coaching staff to feel good, really good about their top eight offensive linemen coming out of the spring.
I think offensively, for me, the goal is it goes back to stay healthy. It's get out of spring practice healthy with everybody as close to 100% as you could be, that you've come in. There are going to be injuries and bang-ups and things like that, and, you know, maybe some of the veterans you could rest a little bit, but no catastrophic injuries. Keep Penix healthy, keep Tuttle healthy, keep the running backs healthy, and keep Caleb Jones and Matt, keep your offensive linemen healthy. Otherwise, it's if you could get out of spring healthy, you're looking good with the full, you know, with the full team as full as it can be, heading into summer workouts and things like that, which should help. I mean, it will help. It'll help expectations as well. But, you know, getting all these guys repetitions together is only going to make this team better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting everybody reps, getting young players reps, getting the veterans, you know, that, and even I use veterans. I mean, guys like Matt Bedford and Caleb Jones, you can consider veterans at this point, but they're still young. I mean, they are still young. They're still relatively inexperienced and have a lot of learning to do and a lot of growth in their game, which is tremendous for IU's future. But, you know, getting those guys experience playing together as a unit, getting Penix experience with, you know, front-end receivers like Wop Billier and Jack Tuttle, getting him experience with all the wideouts together as a group. I mean, it's all those reps are important. That's, you know, putting in the work now is what's going to pay dividends for you in the fall when you get into competitive contests. And that's how you make those difference-making plays to turn those close losses into close wins and continue building this program.
Yeah, and you wrapped it up nicely, TJ. It's just continuing to build, and spring practice is there's really no reward other than the spring game that's tangible mm-hmm. for fans and things like that. But these practices with your seniors out the door and your most of your freshmen not in the door yet, this is where that growth of the football team and growth of the depth is going to come into play, and this is how you help build a program. If spring practice didn't mean anything, they wouldn't hold it. It's not – spring practice is not bringing in, unless you're at Ohio State or LSU or Alabama, spring practice is not bringing in a ton of revenue for TV and all that stuff. Now, it keeps our content fresh, but it's if the team wasn't getting anything out of it, they wouldn't hold it. So this is the behind-the-scenes, kind of the behind-the-scenes work that helped you build the depth of your team, kind of like bowl practices help too. It's a second – now you get 15 more practices to get ready. So Indiana will kick off their spring game on April 17th. TJ, any final thoughts on the offense before we sign off for the week?
This is a good group with a whole lot to be excited about. It's, you know, as far as becoming an offensive coordinator, if I had to, you know, become an offensive coordinator full-time for the first time, this is not a bad group to start that journey with. Nick Sheridan has inherited a really potentially a very good offense with a lot of pieces in place. They just need to, you know, come together, work hard, push the right buttons, and make sure that those pieces gel together so that they can – I mean, the potential's there for this to be a better offense than what IU saw a year ago. I don't think there's any question about that. There's potential to do that. However, you know, there's also potential to take a little step back, and a little step back would be the difference between winning, say, you know, 5 or 6 games versus those 8 or pushing 9 wins. So it's an important time for the offense to come together and gel, find those answers to the few concerns that they do have, and push forward to becoming better in 2020 than they were in 2019.
Yeah, for me, it's the offenses. Can they continue the success they had last year with mm-hmm. under Kalen DeBoer? Is Nick Sheridan ready to take the reins over? And I think he seems like he is. He's an even-keeled guy. He's been around the block a couple of times. He's, you know, called plays before, and people got to kind of separate him from Mike DeBoer. Now, they were all together at Tennessee, but Tennessee fans loved Nick Sheridan. The talk down there with them about Nick Sheridan was that they were very impressed with him. So we'll see what he does. And, you know, the offense, the next step is, you know, those slight improvements in the red zone, kicking, you know, scoring touchdowns instead of kicking field goals and things like that. And becoming more efficient. And they did a great job last year. And you're right, TJ, that's the difference between 5 or 6 wins, 7 and 8 wins. You don't think they go into Purdue and win if they didn't have a good offense. They don't go to Nebraska and win
right.
if they didn't have a good offense as well. Same with the Maryland game, all those games that were within a score or two, that offense really, really needs to, you know, at least stay at the same level as it was last year, if not be, you know, just a tick better. And with Michael Penix being healthy, if he could stay healthy, you just hope you could see and this is all with due respect to Peyton Ramsey, but you could see a much more explosive offense, much more downfield offense that they had than under Peyton Ramsey with Penix and maybe even Jack Tuttle if Penix can't, if he has durability issues. But he's up 218 pounds, which should help, you know, absorb some of those hits. He was playing at 203 last year. So we'll see. And apparently it's good weight. It's not like if you or I, TJ, put on, 15 or 18 pounds in the off season and went out and played football. Now I would have a little bit more cushioning, but it wouldn't be healthy cushioning. So anyway, TJ, thanks for joining us on tonight's podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk next Monday.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Thanks everybody for listening and have a good week.
All right, that does it for tonight's podcast. Thanks for joining us today. As always, come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all of your latest Indiana football news. We'll have all the latest on Peyton Hendershot. All our position previews are coming out this week. They'll be out before IU hits the field on March 7th for spring practice. We'll have a defensive and special teams preview next week. And we hope that everybody has a great end of February. Enjoy the time. Spring is almost here. Warm weather will be right behind it, hopefully. And we're excited to talk spring ball. So follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, on our website, HoosierHuddle.com, and check out our Facebook page. Search Hoosier Huddle. It's up there as well. For TJ Inman, I'm Sam Jacobs. Thanks for joining us tonight. And keep coming back to Hoosier Huddle.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one?
Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.